appreciate you so much, your ministry throughout our fellowship. Missionary kid, former pastor in Bossier, Louisiana, and in Bougaloosa. And now he's just out on the field evangelizing, wreaking havoc, causing trouble, speaking a word of revival in 2005. And if you really want him to have his way and let the Holy Ghost move in this house tonight, I want you to extend your hand toward him, and I want you to pray God's blessing and anointing on him right now. Sow your prayer and your faith into him right now. Praise the Lord. Brother Super, come. Take your liberty.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give God praise. Oh, my Lord. He's so worthy. He's so awesome. Somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out. Somebody say it. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Get your Bibles, and what a joy. I just want to take a few moments. God must be trying to tell me something. I flew into Fort Lauderdale Saturday night and had been there Sunday night and the last two nights in Florida. And I made a statement to the church. I said, I've never felt more welcome and less needed in all my life. Then I come to Birmingham. At least 10, closer to 15 people almost mobbed me at the door. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Some of them didn't even know I was the preacher. They didn't care. They just wanted to make somebody feel welcome. And that's so wonderful. And then you have a hospitality room. They had coffee, juice, water, and potato chips and nuts and stuff just waiting for me to go back there and have a snack. And then I walk out here and join the Audubon, and it's accelerated, Pastor. It's accelerated from Fort Lauderdale. And I was just standing there. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Once again, but even worse, I feel extremely welcome and very unneeded. My Lord, this is awesome. I give honor to your pastor, his family, the church. This is awesome. The only thing I regret is that my family, I've been traveling the last 8 months, and the only thing I regret is my family isn't here. This is the kind of church I want my family to be with me in. If my son was here, he would be tearing up these aisles right now. He's an aisle runner, and we had an old deacon. You talk about getting me mad. We had an old deacon that come up to him and told him that kids weren't supposed to run in church. And for about 2 years, I noticed he just kind of shriveled up during worship and stopped running, stopped worshiping because the guy scared him. I didn't have a clue what happened. And I was talking to him. He'd cry, talk in tongues, wonderful, wonderful kid. And I said, Alexander, what in the world happened? And he told me, he said, well, brother so-and-so come and jumped on me for running the aisles in church. Help me, Jesus. We took care of the problem, and he's running the aisles again. Thank you, Jesus. But it's so wonderful to see the children and the young people and the spirit of unity. I stand trembling. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 27th chapter, say the book of Acts is still happening today. I'm literally trembling in this atmosphere. I don't know what's going to happen. Last Sunday night in Alexandria, Louisiana, something started, and we literally saw a lady had a cancer on her face, and it just slid off on the ground. Two other women had literally growths on their necks. They threw off. Another woman was totally deaf from birth, and her right ear opened. You could see at the camera her face when it registered. Her ear opened. Two different men, their legs straightened. Several of the men in the church that some seemed like something happened in their backs, like an attack. They weren't even going to be able to be at their conference, and God healed them instantly. Some of them on the telephone, they'd hold the phone up. We'd pray, and they'd be healed in their home. Went to Fort Lauderdale. Sunday morning, there was a man scheduled to have surgery this Friday. And his rotator cuff and everything here had been ripped apart. And his backbone and the bone back here literally was poking out through his shirt. And as his wife's hand was on his back, the bone went in place. Oh, I don't think you're hearing me. I'm not talking about Ethiopia. I'm not talking about Philippines. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about right now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And I was so Tuesday before the conference started, Nellie, Tuesday morning I went by just to register. Brother Cisco's my pastor, and I took him in there to register. And a lady come up just crying. She has a son that was born mentally retarded. And this boy, they had me pray for him, and there was all kind of things going on. But he had literally his rib, he's twisted over like this, one leg shorter than the other, and his rib cage here protruded out. Have you seen people like that, bent over like this and deformed and whatever? They took him home that night, and the dad just got crazy because we prayed for him, and there were so many miracles they saw. Brother Mangan said he had never seen that many notable miracles in his life in one setting. It was just God was just, it was just all God. It was happening everywhere. So the dad went and got a tape measure. Got the kid's legs and measured, and they were completely even. Now, hold on. That's not the deal. That's wonderful. When they got up Monday morning, the ribs had gone back in, and he had straightened his body. That really happened. I mean, they're getting documentation and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's what God can do. And God was doing all that kind of stuff Sunday and all this stuff. So one of the assistant pastors kind of was a smart aleck and wanted to go to lunch with me in Florida. And he said, you know, all this emphasis on miracles and supernatural. He said, what eternal good does that have? I said, well, Sunday morning, about 20 new people got the Holy Ghost, didn't they, when they saw the demonstration of the power of God. Miracles are God's evangelism tool. They prove that he is real and that he is alive and that he has dominion over the devil. I feel faith rising in here right now. Would somebody just clap your hands and begin to magnify the name of the Lord? It's not about the miracle. It's about the name that the miracles happen in. It's not, it's that he not only can heal me, he can deliver me. He can save me. He can pluck me out of the miry clay. Hallelujah, and I give God praise. Acts chapter 27. I wish I'd come here years ago now. I was preaching Brother Wilbanks over 10 years ago, and I'm a long time behind. If I was known as this good a church, I'd been here a long time ago. I'm sorry. I tried to get here. I don't know where I went. Acts 27. Now, I've never preached in this manner. A couple of things I want to deal with. God began to speak to me about this on Monday. I was going to preach it Monday night, and it wasn't applicable to that church. I walked through the pulpit to preach this. I have no notes, as you can tell. All I've got is my Bible right here. And I walked the pulpit, and God said, no, it's not for there. Got on the plane today, and the Lord said, okay, now I release you. It's for where you're going. And just fresh word. Look at somebody and say, it may not be that good of a sermon, but it's going to be a word. I'd rather have a word any day. Just one word to do. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 41, chapter 27. And falling into a place where two seas meet. Two seas met. There was a collision of destinies. There is a collision of focus. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained immovable. But the hinder part was broken. Say broken. With the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, say the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces. I wish somebody would say, I'm coming in on broken pieces. Some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Chapter 28, this was added by the translators. The story is going on, so let's just go on. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they had kindled a fire, say a fire. And received every one of us because of the present rain and because of the cold. And with Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened upon his hand. I'm going to preach tonight on the heat that awakes the snake. The heat that awakes the snake. If you want to know where you are in God, your level of attack determines your level of anointing. David's kingship was determined by the size of his giant. The size of your destiny can be determined by the size of the devil that is facing you. Oh, I wish I was preaching to somebody. And there are some of you that do not understand what you're giving the devil glory for. You ought to be shouting out of your mind, because the greater the attack, the greater the anointing. Warfare always surrounds the birth of a miracle. Anytime there's going to be a Messiah born, there's going to be a Herod trying to kill it. Anytime there's going to be a promise of God, there's going to be a spirit of hell that's going to try to destroy it. But I come to tell somebody that what the devil has meant for evil, that God is about to turn it around for my good. And what you need to understand is, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I've come to get a fire burning. I've come to get two sticks of praise and begin to rub them together. I've come to get a stick of sacrifice and a stick of worship and say, I'm going to rub it together until the fire starts burning, because I refuse to be cold and dead and dull and boring and negative and sick and depressed and oppressed. Somebody give him praise. You can be seated if you ever are seated. You don't have to be if you don't want to. Now, I didn't come to preach to the perfect people. I come to preach to somebody that says, everything that I'm going through, I'm breaking up. I told the pastor at lunch today, this sermon was already in my spirit, and I preached it to him a little bit. I said, you'll always feel like you're about to break down right before you break through. You'll always feel like you're breaking apart right before you go to the next level. Am I preaching to anybody that feels like your world is falling apart? Am I preaching to anybody that feels like all hell has come against you? If you feel like things are breaking down, you may be on the verge of a breakthrough. Ask your neighbor, do you feel like you're on the verge of a breakdown? Ask them, do you feel like you're on the verge of a breakdown? This isn't real spiritual, but it makes sense. Chuck Yeager, who broke the sound barrier for the first time, said that right before I broke the barrier, everything began to shake. Everything began to tremble. I feel like somebody here could witness if I said there's been a whole lot of shaking going on. Who am I preaching to in here? You've been shaking in your money. You've been shaking in your marriage. You've been shaking in your family. You've been shaking in your spirit. Everywhere you look, there's a shaking. There's a trembling. But I come to preach to somebody, it always gets worse right before it gets better. It only gets worse right before it gets better. And if there's anybody that said in the last few days, it can't get any worse than this, then my God, baby, it's time to shout. Because if it can't get worse, it must be going to get better. If I can't go lower, I must be going to go higher. If it can't get worse, it's going to get better. See, a whole lot of shaking going on. Chuck Yeager said it seemed like the platelets and the panels on the plane begin to fly off, and the steering wheel and everything begin to just shake in his hand. He said, I knew I had to back off or take a risk. And he said, I decided I'm not a quitter. If I die, I die, but I've got a job to do. I'm preaching to somebody that hell is trying to get you to back up just a little bit. Hell
hell is trying to get you to doubt just a little bit. Just stop giving just a little bit. Just stop praying just a little bit. Just don't go to church every service. Just don't give as much as you've been given. Just don't believe. You can respect the man of God, but you don't have to do everything he says. Just back off a little bit. But I wish I was preaching to somebody that says, I'm going through. I'm going through. I don't care what the rest of the world decides to do. Right? Say this with me. My level of attack determines my level of anointing. The size of my devil determines the size of my destiny. Oh, Lord. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here right now. Am I preaching to anybody that hell has tried to confuse you to make you think the worse it is, the more carnal you are? And the less anointing you feel, the more backslid you are. And the harder it is to worship, the less in tune you are. That's a lie from hell, because he only fights people that are on the verge of a breakthrough. He only attacks marriages that are on the verge of a breakthrough. He only attacks the finances of people of faith. He only attacks the future of people with a destiny and a word from the Lord. Say, I got a word from the Lord. In this context of this scripture, the storm came and Paul had an angelic visitation. You can have a word from the Lord and it doesn't stop the storm. You can have a promise from God and the lightning will still flash and the thunder will still roll. I need to preach to somebody that just because you shout on Sunday night doesn't mean that everything's going to be wonderful on Monday morning. Just because you had a dream doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. Just because you saw your children saved doesn't mean they're not going to act like devils before God brings them in. But I need to preach to somebody that says, be it even so as God told me. Be it, I believe God. And that's what Paul said when the lightning began to flash and the wind began to blow. Paul said, in the midst of the circumstances, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe that it's going to be even as he told me. High five somebody and say, I believe God. How can I doubt what God says? How can I doubt a word from the Lord? Am I making any sense? So right before the breakthrough, you feel like you're going to break apart or you're going to break down. I've never seen more people feel like they're losing their minds. I've never seen more people fighting on a mental level where it seems like the enemy is tormenting and whispering in there, wave at me when I'm talking to you. You can leave a shouting service and the accuser of the brethren sitting in the car whispering in your ear. And the Bible said that the angel appeared to him. He believed God and the storm still came and the boat still ran aground and the boat still began to break apart. Just because things begin to break apart doesn't mean that God has had a breakdown. And I need to tell somebody, sometimes things have to break apart to get you where God wants you to go. Because there was a pit stop for Paul. There was an island for Paul. There were people that needed the Holy Ghost. There were people that needed miracles. There were people that needed the supernatural. I'm preaching to somebody. You say, I don't understand why my life has turned. I don't understand why my finances have turned. My marriage has turned. My health has turned. Lean on unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Because just because you've been delayed doesn't mean you've been denied. Just because you've been detoured doesn't mean... Yeah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Am I making any sense? Tell your friend that just because there's a detour doesn't mean that your life stopped. Just because you're on hold doesn't mean that God's not still going to use you. It's just a pause. It's just a detour. Who am I preaching to that your life is on pause? You're not going anywhere, but you're not going back either. You're not going back into sin. God's taking care of you. You're not seeing what you want to see, but you're not drowning. You're not seeing what you want to see, but there's food on your table, clothes on your back, gas in your car. You don't have everything you're believing for, but God is still providing. He is still helping. Just because I'm on a detour doesn't mean that God has denied me and neglected me and abandoned me. Oh, hallelujah. So that ship began to break apart. Everything, the thing that carried him, the thing that was carrying him began to break apart. Am I preaching to anybody? This isn't my sermon, but I got to get to this point. It began to break apart, and the Bible said that some swam to shore, but some of them just came to shore on broken pieces. I come to tell you, it doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get there. Some of you are going to come in broken marriages. You're going to come in with a broke down career. You're going to go to heaven with a broke down body. You're going to go to heaven with arthritis. Some of you are going to go to heaven with all kind of problems, but it doesn't matter how I get there. If I have to float on broken pieces, if I have to float on my bankruptcy, if I have to float with my friend, if people have to laugh at me and ridicule me, where's your boat, Paul? Honey, quit laughing. I'm still floating. I'm still ahead. Could I preach to somebody tonight? The enemy's tried to kill you. The devourer's tried to destroy you, but I got a board. I've got a plank. It's not pretty. It's not beautiful. It doesn't make sense, but I'm still here. I'm still, I'm still here. I wish you'd high five your neighbor and tell them I'm still here. May not be pretty. I may have to go pick up bottles to put gas in my car. I may have to go mow the neighbor's yards on Saturday. I may have to wear clothes from Goodwill. I may have to come to church and not be able to shout as much as I'd like to because my body doesn't feel as good as it used to, but I'm still here. And I'm coming ashore. I'm preaching to somebody. You're going through in spite of it, in spite of the breaking apart, in spite of the creaking, in spite of the unsteadiness, in spite of the unstable under your ground, under your feet, you're coming to shore. So they came to shore. I could stop right there. We could shout all night. They made it to shore. But this is where the enemy sometimes hits us, is when we reach victory, when we survive, and we are cold and depleted and exhausted. And we are on the omega side of a victory. And we have lived through a breaking apart. And we have survived it. And we are excited. And all of a sudden in our cold state and our survival skills, we begin to get a fire kindling again. And joy begins to come in our heart because it seems like a little normality is coming back in our life. Preacher, you don't understand. I've been through hell lately, but it seems like I'm getting it together. It seems like things are coming together. It seems like my marriage is going to work out. It seems like my cancer's gone. It seems like my kids are calming down. It seems like my boss is going to be okay. It seems like I fit in this church. It seems like I found my place in my ministry, and everything begins to happen, and I feel better. I'm exhausted, and I just come out of something that could have destroyed me, but I made it even though it wasn't pretty. I just came in on high five and say, I'm coming in on broken pieces. I'm still, I need to preach that for a minute. I'm here. Who am I preaching to? You didn't drive up here tonight in a limousine. You didn't get out of your perfect world, leave your perfect house and your perfect family. You walked up in here on broken boards and cardboard. You broke up here on fragments of your past, fragmented dreams, fragmented prayers, but you're here. But you're here. It's fragmented. It's busted up. But I'm here. Paul goes and begins to gather sticks. He begins to gather sticks. Don't ever depend on somebody else to warm you up.
don't depend on the barbarian's fire. The barbarians lived there and they had a fire. But Paul said, I'm going to start my own fire because I can't depend on some false god. That's why I'm very careful whose fire I get around. I'm very careful whose fire I fellowship with. It may look like fire, but here's the reason. I studied. This is interesting. The reason he gathered his own sticks is because these people offered sacrifice to pagan gods by fire. And Paul said, I tell you what, I'm going to start my own fire, but I'm not going to worship with you. I refuse to warm my hands at the altar that worships gods, and I will not worship a false god, so I'm going to build my own fire. I've come to tell somebody, I don't care how bad it is, you better be careful where you're getting fed and where you're warming in your hands. You got to be very I got to start a fire. Give me a stick of sacrifice. Give me a stick of praise. Am I preaching to anybody? It would be easy to borrow somebody else's fire. It would be easier to go say, can I come over here and mix with you? But you better say, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. It's worth the energy. It's worth the energy. I'll praise him anyhow. Yea, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I told you I wouldn't need it here. I feel welcome, but I'm just warming his hands. Say, I'm just going to start my own fire. Woo, we can run the aisles right here. He's coming on broken pieces. The angel of the Lord came to him. He encouraged everybody, be of good cheer. He said, I believe God. God's just took him step by step by step. Looks like he is on a supernatural divine appointment. And when the flames begin to kindle against the sticks that he has rubbed together and gathered together, there is a viper in the fire. I have come to preach to you that if you ever get an original fire burning, it will awake hell. It will awake the snake. Don't you back up when serpents start coming out of a fire. I feel like going crazy here. If you'll hold on, if you'll study black magic, I have African roots, so if you'll study black magic or if you'll go to your commentary, it was possible that serpents could live in the fire of the magicians and the idolaters. They literally would offer sacrifices, and the serpents would literally stand up in the fire and not be burned. But when Paul started a fire, it got this serpent's attention. Good God, help me. That is why revival broke out on this island. See, there's a false fire. You can shout all you want to and it don't bother the devil. There's a false fire. You can run the aisles and it don't bother the devil. But when you got one Lord, one faith, one baptism, when you're consecrated to a name that's above every other name, when you have submitted yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you understand that Jesus Christ is the revealed image of the invisible God, when you understand that the only image of the Godhead is the Lord Jesus Christ, that before Abraham was, I am, he said. When you have seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Father are one. When you warm yourself at this fire, this is somewhat confusing. Because these other fires aren't having any problems. This island is snake infesting. Paul starts just a little fire all by itself, and the viper wakes up, comes out of the fire, and latches itself to the man of God. Who am I talking to that thought you had finally broke through, come into a new dimension, finally got something going in your life, got revival, got victory, got prosperity, got your blessing on, got your health on, got your destiny together, got it all together. And right at the point you finally think you got it together, the serpent comes out and latches on to you, and venom is coming into your body. And you walked up in here tonight with a serpent of hell, with an attack of the devil attached to you. And I come to tell somebody, it is the heat that awakes the snake. If you get scared, if you get fearful, you're going to give the devil some glory. But I think there's somebody that says, I'm just going to shake it off and put, I feel like just shaking it off. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I feel like just shaking it off back in the fire. I've come in on broken pieces. I've rubbed the sticks together. I've started my own fire, and hell don't like it. But we don't care what the devil don't allow. We're going to worship anyhow. We're going to have miracles anyhow. We're going to believe God anyhow. Oh, somebody praise, 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 praise. There is not any evidence that the venom of the serpent affected the man of God at all. He shook it off, but he didn't just shake it off. He shook it off into the fire. Some of you don't need to just shake it off. You need to shake this devil off in the middle of this atmosphere. You need to shake this spirit of sickness and depression and infirmity. And who am I talking to? Spirit of heaviness has attached you. Spirit of depression and confusion has attacked you. A spirit trying to weigh you down, trying to suck the life out of you, trying to put venom and bitterness and jealousy and pride and hypocrisy, trying to put the venom of hell in you. And you're saying, you know what? I'm about to shake you off in this thing, and I'm not taking you home with me. I'm not going to shake you off by myself. I'm going to shake you off in the fire. I'm going to leave you here. You're going to burn up. You're not going to be with me anymore. You're not going home with me tonight, devil. You're not going to my house. You're not getting in my car. You're not getting in my family. You're not getting in my pocketbook. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands unto the Lord. You know, there's some churches you just feel at home. Some churches, I don't tell some things because they're so full of doubt, they don't even believe God can give people the Holy Ghost instantly. You got to tarry for 20 years. So I sure don't tell about miracle signs and wonders, dear Lord. If your baptistry's got coat hangers floating in it and rust stuck to it, I really don't want to tell you any miracles. But as I was just preaching this, I began to go back when I was a boy. One of the pastors came and asked us if we wanted to come to the service up on Saturday afternoon, that they were going to rebuke the snakes from the village. My father looked at him like he was crazy. He said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, we're going to rebuke the snakes. Our village where we have our church is infested with snakes. And the Bible said that we have authority over the devil, that we can cast out devils, that we can tread on scorpions, that if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us. And he said, we're going to take dominion, and the saints of God are going on a fast, and we're going to get together on Saturday. We're going to walk through the village, and we're going to have sticks. They literally did this. They lined up shoulder to shoulder, one edge of the village to the other. They walked through the village with sticks, stirring up snakes. Vipers came out everywhere, and they began to rebuke these snakes. I stayed in a car. I'm not going to tell you I'm spiritual. My daddy and mama stayed in the car, too, with our windows up with the air conditioning rolling. Thought they was crazy. And I'll never forget one of them come up and was chasing one of these snakes. Wasn't real big snakes. Chasing the snake right up by the car. I kind of got up on the seat, you know. Come up through one of them exhaust pipes, you know, maybe accidentally, just in case. And this is what they were doing. Now, you got to understand, these people have faith.
they'd point at these snakes and say, "Je te panique au nom de Jesus. I rebuke you in Jesus' name." When they would say these, white foam would come out of the mouth of these snakes. Their brain literally would explode, and they'd just roll over on their belly. Now, I know some of you look at me like I'm crazy. I haven't told this story in years because people think I'm nuts. But you crazy. And then, there's other missionaries that were there, so I can tell this story. So they literally had dominion over these snakes. So I come home and tell that story, Brother Sutton, in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm single. There's a missions conference. A bunch of half-backslid preachers are there. I get up and I tell that story, and here's how they're looking at me. So the pastor says, "Let's go to breakfast the next day." So we go to breakfast. I'm not going to say his name. Wonderful man. He says, "Now, Brother Super, you have a tremendous ministry." I was about 18 years old. He said, "You have a tremendous ministry. Good preacher, good word preacher, all that." But he said, "You know, you don't have to make up stories to encourage the people of God." He said, "The word speaks for itself." The whole time he was telling me, this steam was coming out of my ears. Because he just called me a liar. That's what he just called me. Those are fighting words. I'm sorry, I'm sanctified, but those are fighting words. And I kept my mouth shut. I chewed on my tongue. We began to go home. As we come home, his wife was in the car. She knew I was mad. I was sitting in the back seat. I was fuming. I had tears in my eyes. I was so mad. And we pull up to their house, and there's a garden snake. A little green garden snake laying across. God did it. God did it. God set it up. He set it up. See, I'm trying to tell you, God has set you up. He has given you the authority. It's on you. You have identified the serpent. It's connected to you. I'm afraid of a serpent if I can't see it. I'm afraid of a rattler if I can hear it. But there's no greater victory than the way you know how to get the victory is the spirit of hell is connected to you. So all you got to do is shake it off and put... Quit letting the devil beat up on you that you've been attacked, that a spirit has attached itself to you. It's found a good place. I'm shaking it off. It's found. What a better place for a spirit of cancer to go. What a better place for heart trouble to come. What a better place for poverty to come. Because when you connect yourself to me, I'm going to shake you off. What a better place. Am I making any sense? What a better place. What a better place than with a believer. I jump out of the car. I say, "This one's mine." I run up. You got to understand. I was so mad. You say, "Were you anointed?" No, but I sure was inspired. Oh, I was mad. I pointed at that poor little garden snake and I said, "Je te panique au nom de Jesus." And that little thing just kind of rolled over. You don't hear me. I know that up until a few years ago, they had that thing in alcohol in a jar sitting in a Sunday school room telling the young people, "This is what God can do." I said, "Now who's the liar now? Who's the liar now?" See, you don't have... I told you that story to tell you this. It's time to shake him off and put him under your feet. We have dominion. Come on, musicians, get up here. Come on, worshipers, get up here. Who am I preaching to? Revival. A true spirit of revival will always wake up the enemy. A true spirit of revival will always wake up an attack from the hell. Is anybody here under an attack? Your level of attack determines your level of anointing. The greater the attack, the greater the anointing. The greater the devil, the greater the destiny. And you ought to shout about it. You ought to get happy. It ought to stir something up inside your body, inside your mind, inside your spirit. Now, I don't want everybody up here, just those I preach to. Just the people this made sense to you. You got a fire burning and the snake has woke up. Come on. Just the ones it made sense to. Pastor, my God, your whole church wants the word of the Lord. Now, you know what this altar call tells me? It's not near as bad as it looks, but there's some of you, you've got victory, but you just want so much more. You're a bunch of gluttons. Yeah. You're just whatever you got for me. Whatever God's got, I want it. Whatever God's got, I want it.
Now I rebuke the spirit of hell. Right now, baby, in the there you go. Right now, loose her. A spirit of healing, bones, muscles, sinews. Now, give God praise. Give God praise. Now, I want somebody that says a spirit of heaviness is about to break off of us. That spirit of oppression is about to break off of this church. A spirit of fear is about to break off of me. Do you believe that something is going to break right now? We're about to put this thing back in the... We're about to put it back in the fire. I may be here on broken pieces, but I'm still here. Now, raise your hands in Jesus. In Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive. Come on, get it right now. You can be healed now. You can be loose, spirit of heaviness. Go. There it goes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what we call.
Here it goes, spirit of the living God.
Turn out strongholds, break the chain.
Come on, find them.
Find the devil in Jesus' name.
Tonight,
we got a right to shake the foundations with praise.
Come on and sing glory.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is what we've come to do. Turn down strongholds, break the chain.
Come on, find them.
Find the devil in Jesus' name.
Tonight,
we got a right to
loose,
shake the
loose.
Foundations
it's
with
yours.
Praise.
Come on,
sing glory.
Victory tonight.
Glory.
Tonight, a breakthrough tonight. The venom leave of my body tonight. Come on, pray for one another. Pray for somebody. Pray for your brother, for your sister. I rebuke the spirit of heaviness. I rebuke the spirit of hell. I rebuke the spirit. Hey, hey, hey.
Come on and pray. Come on and praise him.
Praise him.
The Lord is worthy. Yes, he is.
The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy.
Yes, he is.
The Lord is worthy. Break the chain.
right now. Worship until you're disconnected from the surface. Worship until you're disconnected from the surface.